discussing this morning. Thank you all. Our second scripture lesson this morning comes from the sixth chapter of John's Gospel. First, the I am statement of Jesus. If you've been with Jim in the Sunday school class, you will recognize this one from John 6:35. And then we'll go a little further and talk about and read about Jesus' ministry to the people. First, chapter 6, verse beginning at verse 35. Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me shall never be thirsty." And skipping over to verse 41. At this, the Jews began to grumble about him because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They said, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he say, 'I came down from heaven'?" "Stop grumbling among yourselves," Jesus answered. "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'They will all be taught by God. Everyone who listens to the Father and learns from him comes to me.' No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. I tell you the truth, he who believes has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your forefathers ate manna in the desert, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. I am living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world." May God add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. As I was explaining to Logan a few moments ago, those people, the 5,000 men and their families who had been fed by Jesus with the two loaves and then the fishes, they were following Jesus, but they were following him for all the wrong reasons. His greatest gift to them was not the loaves and the fishes and the multiplication of all the baskets of bread that were taken up. His greatest gift to them was the teaching. For the scripture, if you remember when we read that particular passage, the scripture says that he had pity upon them and he taught them before there was any problem with loaves and fishes and feeding them. But what they remembered was the feeding. They were blind to what was really important. It's kind of ironic because when I first got out of college, one of the jobs that I did was I was at a shelter workshop for people with various handicaps, and I worked with a blind man there. My job was to teach this gentleman how to perform tasks that would make him employable out in the world. But I found out something. He taught me far more than I ever taught him. He taught me how to be sensitive to other people. Because whenever I walked into the room where he was sitting, he would immediately sense my mood and my disposition just by listening to my breathing and the other clues that he could gather. If I was having a bad day or a problem, he could tell, and he'd ask me what was wrong. Now, this is a man who had lost his sight as an adult, but had quickly adapted and compensated with his other senses. Often he would see what was going on around him better than the rest of us who had sight. I think that's exactly what Jesus is trying to get across to the people this morning. He's trying to tell this crowd to look and see what God is doing right before their eyes. But the crowd is just not getting it. They're not understanding. They had followed Jesus across the Sea of Galilee because he fed them. They wanted another free meal. But they were missing the treasure, the message behind the meal. So Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." And they began to grumble. "How can he say that he's the bread of heaven? We know him. We know his mother and his father. He's just another person. How can he say that he came down from heaven?" Indeed, how could Jesus say, "I am the bread that comes down from heaven"? He spoke those words to stir the imagination and touch the hearts in order for the people to see beyond the here and now. He recalled to them the exodus from Egypt, the manna that was sent from heaven, and the sustenance that God provided for his people. It was the food that saved their lives and enabled them to journey to the land that God had promised. Every person in that crowd knew that story. They knew the Exodus, and Jesus was trying to get them to see that God had once again sent down bread from heaven that would not only lead them to a promised land, but to life eternal. But Jesus' words fell upon deaf ears. This imaginative metaphor of the bread only caused confusion and anger and disrespect. You know, that same lack of imagination is with us today. So many people hear of Jesus and they've already got their mind made up what it's about. We talk about the church and they already have their mind made up that it is a den of hypocrites and nothing of any substance goes on there. They ask, how could Jesus heal? Did he have a staff of doctors and nurses? And casting out demons? Is there even any such thing as a demon? Surely he was just a man. Even in the church, there's those who question the scriptures, the virgin birth, the healings, the walking on water, the feeding of the 5,000. Our Bible has been discredited and regarded, even in our seminaries, as a book of myths and legends. They say, surely the Bible writers exaggerated. Surely it can't be the way they said it. And then we, the church, we find ourselves in a difficult place in our society today. More and more, the society around us is secular. And it is the fault, perhaps, of the clergy that we are poorly equipped to make an effective witness to this society. One of the problems is illustrated by a story that Soren Kierkegaard told. The great theologian told a parable of a community of ducks that would waddle off to their duck church and hear their duck preacher. And the duck preacher was good. He spoke eloquently about how God had given the ducks wings to fly. And he was stirring as he talked about how those wings could carry them beyond the bounds of existence. They could soar. And the ducks quacked amen. But at the conclusion of the services, the ducks left commenting on the message, how great it was, and they waddled back home. They never flew. I think our church has been a duck church for too long. We hear how great we can fly, and that we talk about the superlatives of eternal life that begins right here, right now, a renewed life . Then we waddle on home. Christ wants to give us wings, spiritual wings. There are so many people sitting in Christian churches across the globe that hear the message and say amen and waddle on home. Jesus was, in our scripture lesson this morning, and is, at this very moment, trying to reach out to humanity in metaphor and imagination to instill faith in what cannot be seen. Indeed, the writer of Hebrews put it in a nutshell: faith is the assurance of things hoped for. What do people hope for today? A newer car, a nicer home, life eternal. Is that even on the agenda? Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And the pragmatists say it's pie in the sky. Drivel to enslave the masses, the Marxists say. But to those of us who have the imagination to understand the message of Jesus Christ, to receive Jesus Christ, he is indeed all we have ever hoped for. We have sat on the edge of the abyss, and we have looked across, and we have seen a loving God, because Jesus has pointed to that loving God. Yeah, we are temporary creatures. Yet he has enabled us to understand eternity and what it means to be loved by an eternal God. Jesus is all we hope for, and he has given us the conviction that there is a God who loves us, and that God is in charge of this world, regardless of how much it looks like it's going the other way. I would pray that spiritually, we are the ducks that leave the door of the church and fly off to our homes. The Lexington Presbyterian Church is one I visited several times, and I love what they have. They have a banner above the back door of the church as you go out toward the parking area, and it says, "You are entering the mission field." You're entering the mission field when you walk out those doors. And Christ has given you wings. What does that mean? He's given you a witness. A witness to a power beyond. A witness to eternity. The word eternal life is found 400 times in the Bible. And think about it. It expresses the very essence of our God. God is forever. God's love is forever. One of the things I like to do at a funeral is to bring out what the Apostle Paul said: faith, hope, and love abide, these three. But how's it go? What's the rest of it? But the greatest of these is love. Abide means to make one's home with, to be forever. God's love is forever. And, the big and comes, those who are beloved in God through Jesus Christ also live forever. We know that this life is a drop of water falling on the surface of the lake of eternity, and that the ripples that go out from our existence won't last very long. But in Jesus Christ, who we are, will be part of the great peace of the great lake of eternity. Forever is the very core and essence of God, and therefore the very core and essence of God's plan for us today. And we say, oh, it can't be true, it can't be true. Why can't it be true? Because it's too good to be true. You get on the internet and you run to see the advertisements and you say, oh, it's too good to be true. I'm not clicking on that. But Jesus Christ is true. He wants to give us life eternal. And it comes now. The cool thing about the whole promise is that it happens right now. Not when we die, not in the future. It happens right now. If we could only get that across to people. And what gives you wings? You know, when your life becomes tough, what gives you wings? Eternity. Cancer, heart disease, all of the things that threaten us, old age, all the things that threaten us have no power over eternity. In Jesus Christ, we are eternal. That thought, that vision can give you wings to overcome just about any difficulty in this life. Jesus is the love of God for each and every one of us. He is the forgiveness of God that indwells our hearts. He is the beginning and end, the Alpha and Omega of who we are and what we are. So I invite you to close your eyes. Listen to Jesus intently. He says, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. In a few minutes, we're going to take the bread. We're going to drink the cup. We're going to receive Jesus once again into our lives, committing ourselves to him. And it's not for just today or tomorrow. It's for eternity. We are loved for eternity. To him be the glory. Amen. Join me for a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you. It is hard for us at times to lift our eyes from the earth, to realize that in you we are eternal beings, that this life, that death does not have the last word, that in you we go on. We thank you for that reminder. We thank you that you are attentive to our every need. Continue to show us ways that we can show our wings to this world. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.